Please turn in your Bibles with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. I will read from verse 5 to 2 verse 2, and then we will get into it. So 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 to 2 verse 2. Okay, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you so much for this time that we have had to sing praises to your name. We thank you, God, that you are here with us and among us, and we pray that you would continue to be very present here. We pray, God, that we would be open and honest and humble enough to let you do your work through us. I pray that you would use me. I pray that you would take these simple loaves and fish and that you would feed your people. We pray that Christ would be glorified above all else. We pray that we would learn to love you more. We pray that we would hate our sin more. And we pray above all else, God, that we would glorify you with everything that we do, that we say, and we think. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One second. I'm taking a sip. Okay, sorry. When my family lived in Nestleton, which is where we lived before we lived here in Newcastle, our basement wasn't finished. We had a nice big house. The basement wasn't finished, that was fine. But for some reason, whoever built it, they put the light switch in our basement in the freezer room far away from where the staircase was. And that was an issue. As every little boy knows, there are monsters that live in the dark. And normally, in a finished basement, the walls keep those monsters at bay. But our basement was unfinished. They could roam around the basement in the darkness as they felt. And so when my mom would get Nathan or I to, like, oh, I need something from the freezer, there would be this issue. There would be a predicament and a war you'd face where you'd say, I'd have to get food from my mom, but if I'm going to bring it back upstairs and turn the lights off, I am going to be stuck in the dark with these creatures, and they'll get me. So I remember one time my mom said, Josh, go get some beef or whatever from the freezer. And I did. And we used to have, like, our water filtration system was there. And on top of all this, like on top of the monsters living in our house, my dad used to love scaring us. And so he would hide places all over the house or sneak up behind us. So there was always this, like, on this thing in my mind to be like, I will get scared by my dad or the monsters in the basement will take us. And so I remember, like, you have the beef in your hand and the light switch was over top of the freezer. You flip it off and then you run as fast as you can, as fast as your little feet could carry you, all the way until you're safe in the light. And that's the story for most young boys. You're afraid of the dark, you're afraid of all the things that you can't see. But sadly, life changes us, and as we get older, it's no longer the darkness that we're afraid of, it's the light. The Bible says Jesus is the light of the world, and he has come into the darkness, but men flee from the light because their deeds are evil. His light exposes all the monsters that hide within our sinful souls, and we would rather live in ignorance and we'd rather live in darkness, blind to the dangers that are around us, because the light exposes us for who we really are. And so, the passage that we just read, 1 John 1, 5 to 2, 2, John, the Apostle John, is talking about our relationship to the light, our relationship to the darkness. And he has a reason for it. It matters what our relationship to the light and to the darkness is. If you look in your Bibles at 1 John 2, verse 1. My dear children, I am writing you these things so that you will not sin. So the purpose of this section of the Bible, the purpose of John's encouragement, is holiness. A major theme in the book of 1 John is true love and the assurance that comes with it. And as that is applied to a life, the result is that we as Christians would sin less and less. And so if this message is to be of any benefit, we're not just going to talk about what our relationship to the light is, what our relationship to the darkness is, and pat ourselves on the back and think we've done a good job learning something. John's goal is that we would sin less with the truth that we hear. And so our goal, our purpose has to be the exact same. We have to look for a love. We have to look for an encouragement. We have to look for an assurance that stops us from sinning and constrains us to do what is good. And so again, our focus this morning is that fellowship with God will cease us from sinning. So, this is what John is trying to say. We'll start off with verse 5. Verse 5 is the foundation. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So, again, this is the home base for everything else that John is going to say. This is the foundation, that God is light. The foundation is solid because it was a message that the apostles had heard from Jesus. In chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, John says that they heard from Jesus, that they saw Jesus with their eyes, that they looked at him, that they touched him. And so now, based on what they've seen and based on what they've heard, they continue to declare this message that God is light and in him is no darkness at all to others. So there wasn't any confusion in the message that they heard, and there wasn't any uncertainty of who they heard it from. Jesus himself had a message that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. John 8 verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the question then is, what does it mean that God is light? If that's the message that Jesus had when he came, that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If that's the message that John and the rest of the apostles heard, and that's the message they continue to say, it's very important for us to understand what light is. What does it mean that God is light? So I think it's safe to say that John is driving at the fact that God is truth. If you look at verse 6 in 1 John, there's this relationship between walking in darkness and not practicing the truth. So God then becomes the source of all that is true, and all real living, all real loving, and all real understanding comes from him. We don't and we cannot understand what it means to really love if love hasn't been illuminated by his truth. We can't understand what it means to really live the life we ought to live if life hasn't been illuminated by his truth. The verdict, though, as Jesus says in John 3, is that though light has come into the darkness, men hid from it because their deeds were evil. And Jesus goes on to say in John chapter 3, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. And there we see this correlation again, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. That is the same as saying as God is truth. But I think it's very important that the apostle didn't use truth. He chose the word light for a reason. The truth will set us free, but it isn't a cold and mechanical truth. The connotation of light behind the word light is a bright beauty. And that's the kind it allows you to see. That's the kind of truth that God is. He is bright and he is warm. His truth, his word, his revelation is a warm sun on our cold hearts. The truth is inviting, and it is full of hope. It isn't, again, dark, cold, and mechanical. It is bright and warm and vibrant. And that's the foundation. That's the foundation that we build off of. And John is going to do work and show us how we relate to what our relationship to the light is, what our relationship to the dark is. But for now, it's important for us to know, really know, and feel that God is light. He is a bright truth, and in him is no darkness at all. And that is a huge foundation. If the Bible said, if there were a hint of darkness in God, if the Bible said, God is light, footnote, and you go to the bottom, except for this one thing here, except for this big issue with God, this little shadowy part, all of your trust would go away. How could you trust God? if there was something in him that could never be trusted, that would infect everything. Our assurance would be up in smoke. Our hope would fade. But it isn't like that. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John Piper said that light is the promise of hope and joy, while darkness is the threat of despair and misery. And so the message that Jesus came to give is that God is light, God is truth, and his truth is full of bright hope and lasting joy. Jesus came to tell us that in God there is no darkness at all, that in him there is no threat of despair, there is no danger of misery. John heard that message, and he writes a letter. And one of the purposes in him writing that letter is knowing and believing and embracing all of this truth so that we might not sin. So you can't separate the two. It isn't enough to know that God is light and still sin. You have to change. That's why he's writing this. And we're going to get into that more and more. But before we get into it, now what John has written, there's some structure to it. There's a structure to how John explains what our relationship to light and what our relationship to darkness is. So verse 5 is the foundation, and the rest of it is a house. And for a house, I'm sure you know, structure matters. And if you don't believe me, ask the three little pigs. They structure and material mattered for them. The foundation is that God is light, and the walls and the bricks and everything else in what John is saying here are three sets of statements. Each set has a positive if-then statement and a negative one. You can look at them in the Bible. And essentially, he's just answering a question. He asks a question, and then he gives you a negative answer for it and a positive answer for it. And he's going to show you you're either in one camp or the other. So there's three questions. We're going to talk about what those three questions are. And our hope and our prayer and our goal is that they're not just things we ask ourselves here on Sunday morning and then forget when we walk out. These are important things that we need to embrace. So the three questions: where will we walk? That's number one. Number two, what will we say? And number three, who will God be? So if we look at verses 6 and 7, I will read them again. This is the first question: where will we walk? If we claim to have fellowship with him, that is God, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. That's the first negative statement. And then the positive: but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And so the first question again is, where will we walk? Will we walk in darkness, or will we walk in light? And a better question has probably been, where were you walking, where were we walking last week? Were we walking in darkness, or were we walking in light? And the first thing that John does, before we talk about what it means to walk in darkness and what it means to walk in light, if you read the beginning of verse 6 again, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie. And so there is a way to talk about our fellowship with God to other people and still live and walk in darkness. There is a way to lie about your relationship and your fellowship with the light and still not live out the truth. In fact, I think this is a huge issue everywhere we go, and the reason I say it is because I know it's a huge issue in my own life. It is so easy to tell a lie about where we're at in our relationship with God, or never say anything really deep or meaningful about our personal struggles because we're afraid. That's what it comes down to. Why would we never tell someone there's an issue? Why would we lie about our relationship? It's because we're afraid. It's because we fear others over fearing God. We care about what others think of our spirituality more than we care to go to God and deal with our sin. We care more about, I think we're just content with lying to, God knows that we're sinful. And we kind of put that out of our mind a little bit, and I'm satisfied more often than not just to lie to myself a little bit so I can continue on. I think this is the battle that we all face. We can talk about the light, we can come to church on a Sunday, we can all wear collared shirts and shake our hands and say encouraging things, but if we spend our week living in darkness, that's an issue. There's an issue with a separation of what the things we say and how we live. And so this morning, we should never let that happen. We have to fear God more than man. We have to realize that life is more than what everyone else in this room thinks of you. Life is what God thinks of you and your relationship to him. So that's just an aside. Walking in the darkness, then, ultimately and simply, is being filled with hate and loving the world more than you love God. The Apostle John says later on in chapter 2, verse 8, if you want to follow along, I am writing to you a new command. The truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. Verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So walking in darkness, then, is living a life that's filled with hate, which is just the opposite of love. And sometimes we don't like hearing those words, that if we do not love our brother or sister, or if we love other things before them, we hate them. It is not loving your brother or sister. It's loving yourself more than anyone, and that looks like hate. And it's easy to try to shrug those things off and justify how we live by saying we're better than the person beside us, or saying, I don't really hate them. I just don't do anything for them. But Paul says that we ought to use our freedom in Christ to serve one another in love. And I mean really serve people. Like Bob was saying, give someone a phone call. Make a sacrifice. Do you see a brother in need? Love him and help him. Do you see a sister in despair? Love her and help her. We are a body. We are a family. And we have to do these things. If Christ's love has changed us, we will and must love others. Walking in darkness is more than not loving your brothers and sisters. It's also loving the world. It is desiring the lust of the flesh. It is desiring and loving the lust of the eyes. And it is desiring and loving the pride of life. So it is a love that is temporal and selfish. So walking in darkness, ultimately, is nothing more than love. That love, though, is just misdirected. It is misapplied. It looks like arrogant self-love and sinful love for all of the perversions and lusts and temptations of the world. And so again, the question is this. Do we lie and claim a fellowship with God, with the light and with the truth, while we walk in darkness, while we hate our brother and sister, or while we love the sins that we indulge in? Do we talk about how great it is to live for the glory of God while staying up late looking at things we shouldn't look at on our phones or on our computers? Do we speak of how important it is to give to missions or be missionaries or support our local church while pinching our pennies when the offering bags go by and never giving an ounce or moment or second of our time to the things going on in our church? Do we talk about how important it is for God to do a work by His Spirit? We talk about revival and we never pray alone or together in this church. Do we talk about how important community is, or accountability is, or fellowship is, while we waste our days away on our phones, or watching movies, or TV shows, or playing video games, or gossiping? And do we talk about how important it is to contend for truth in this day and age, while we never open our Bibles, while we never study? The list can go on and on. Again, the question is, why would we lie? Why do we do this? We're afraid to be judged. We're afraid for others to see. I'm afraid to see for others to see how much I fall short. And we fear their opinion of us. That's what stops us from doing the things that we need to. We fear those twisted faces or those pitying eyes when we admit that we don't have everything together. And beyond that, beyond the fear of man, we really do fear God, and not in a good way. If He knows everything, we're afraid to go to Him because we don't always feel a forgiveness. And we think, how can He love us? How could we ever go to Him after all the things that we have done? And John has an answer. That's walking in darkness. If you look at verse 7, but if we walk in the light just as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, purifies us from all sin. So there is, in the light, a fellowship that changes everything. It changes all of that. If walking in the darkness is a misdirected love, if it's loving yourself and loving the world, Walking in the light is love with the right perspective. Walking in the light is loving your brother and sister. It's hating the lust of the flesh. It's hating the lust of the eyes. It's hating the pride of life. And more than anything else, it is fellowship with God. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And so walking in the light is unity and fellowship with Him. It's loving Him and living for Him above all else. And what is the result of this sort of living? It isn't the despair that comes from walking in darkness. Instead, it is fellowship with God, with each other, and a cleansing from sin. It's loving your brother and sister in such a way that only living in the light can do. It is a serving love. It is a true love that gives hope and gives joy. It's the sort of love that breeds real fellowship and real community. The way to get fellowship with one another comes from walking in the light. It comes from a bright and lovely truth, and it comes ultimately from fellowship with God. When you find someone else who has a similar love, you find someone who likes the same TV show as you, you're like, man, I can't believe you love that show too, and you talk about it forever. When you find someone who loves God the way they ought to, who loves Him in the truth and loves Him in light, you can do life together. You can talk about God together, and you can encourage one another together. Our church needs this. We all need this. We can't shrug something like this off. We need a real fellowship amongst each other that encourages us to walk in the light and stop living a lie. We need to find and embrace the wonderful God of truth and really fellowship with one another. We don't need to fear that sort of relationship, because if we walk in the light, the thing that we're most afraid of, our sin and exposing it, gets dealt with. If we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus, God's own Son, purifies us from our sin. So the sin that we lie about and become crushed under because of guilt is finally dealt with. We can walk in the light because we are forgiven and because God is still doing His work within us. He knows we sin. We know we sin. We all know, if I know I sin and you know you sin, why wouldn't we talk about it and pray and encourage each other in that? We can be honest. We don't need to lie about our struggles to others or to God. We can be honest. We can let Him do His good work. We can let light shine and continue to conform us into the image of His Son. So that's the first question. Where will we walk? Are we walking in darkness? Are we walking in light? The second question, if you look at verses 8 and 9, is what will we say? So John takes this idea of fellowshipping with the light and fellowshipping with darkness and is continuing to try to encourage us to stop sinning by asking another question. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just, and He will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So the first question is, where will you walk in light or darkness? The second question is, what will we say? Will you say that you are without sin and deceive yourself? Or will you open your mouth and confess your sin and find forgiveness? Some of us here, maybe even all of us, will take the first question, where will we walk, and be like, oh, I'm walking in light. I got nothing to deal with. And I tried to work through ways of, like, how do you confront apathy? But apathy, I know, apathy is hard to put into words. And so, like, you can just not care about the things I'm saying or not care about what John is writing, but that's an issue. You lie to yourself. And John says, if you claim to be without sin, if you're saying there's no issue, you are deceiving yourself and the truth isn't in you. So it's bigger than apathy. It's the truth is not inside of you. I know, we all know what a dry heart and soul looks and feels like. I know what it's like to be too young to care about stuff. To be too busy to spend time loving God or loving others. To be too busy spending time loving myself. I know how easy it is to justify the things we want to do, which can be sinful, instead of doing the things we ought to do because we can just twist the way we say things so it doesn't convict us. And I know how easy it is to try to avoid truth to keep my living easy and keep myself in control of my own life. But John has an answer for me and for all of you who are like me. He has an answer for you. If you claim to be without sin, you are deceived and the truth is not in you. And how can he say that if he just said in verse 6 that we can talk about fellowship with the light? There's a huge difference about being able to talk about the Bible, talk about the truth, talk about the light, say all the things, Facebook all the things, tweet all the things you ought to Facebook tweet and talk about, and having the light and truth change you and change the way that you live. We are experts, all of us are experts, in self-deception. We are blind and we wander so deep sometimes in the darkness of our own sin, we forget what it's like to really see. Have you ever been in a place that's so dark, so dark, it doesn't matter if your eyes are open or closed, you still can't see anything? And people are like, oh, you can't see your hand if it's right in front of you. So there are places in our lives that are so dark, we might think we can see, but we don't see anything. And so in a room, you might have all of the wondrous joy of a Big Mac meal sitting right in front of you, and you might be really hungry, but you're in darkness. And so you couldn't reach out and grab it and take it and satisfy yourself. And that's how we live so often in our sin. We are surrounded by so much darkness that we forget what it's like to really see. And the things that we're craving, the word and light that we're craving, can be right in front of us, but we're so blind we can't reach out and take it and let it convict us. So what will we say then? That's the question. Will we say we are without sin, even though we know there is so much within us, even right now, that we don't want others to know about us? Will we wander around as blind in our own self-deception, or will we confess our sin? If we want to walk in the light and know the hope and joy of fellowship with God and with others, there is a way to break the darkness. And it's magical. I liked G.K. Chesterton once said that Christianity is the most amazing myth because beyond answering and giving you the hope you need, it's completely true. So all of the wonder and adventure of a myth, we enjoy. God himself has done an amazing thing to break the curse of darkness that lays over our blind eyes. He's given himself. And how is it undone? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. So the curse of darkness and blindness is undone by confession. We can confess our sins, and instead of punishment for them, instead of fear for them, we find forgiveness. Confession is freedom. Honesty and humility with our sin leads us to a wonderful freedom of knowing that we are forgiven. And I say knowing because we don't always feel forgiven. We can do a stupid thing. We can get angry. We can be jealous. We can hate our brother and sister. We can look at someone with lust. We can be lazy. We can do a million things and be like, Lord, please forgive me. And we don't feel forgiven. We still bear guilt. But it's important to know that we are forgiven, because the truth doesn't get any less vibrant and any less strong whether we feel it or not. Richard Sibbes once said this. He's an old dead guy. Measure not God's love or favor by your feeling. The sun shines as clearly in the darkest day as it does in the brightest. The difference then is not the sun, but in some clouds which hinder the manifestation of light thereof. And so we cannot measure our forgiveness by the way we feel. We have to measure how forgiven and how loved and how favored we are by the truth. And so the pride of a closed mouth will leave you blind and ultimately kill you. But the humility of confession will give you the freedom of knowing you are forgiven. And that knowing you're forgiven is your justification and your progressive sanctification. Knowing that God has forgiven you once and for all in Christ, and that nothing will remove you from his love. Knowing that he will forgive and is faithful to do so each and every day. So from August 24th onward, every silly mistake, every sinful failure and misstep, that is forgiven. And that is a mercy, and that is a grace that produces holiness. That is a truth that ceases us from sinning. And so out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The question is, what will we say? Will we love ourselves and lie to ourselves and remain in the darkness? Or will we love God and the bright truth and find forgiveness? So we're on to the third question, verses 10 and the last half of verse 2. And that question is, who will God be? So the first question, where will we walk? Will we walk in darkness or will we walk in light? which is essentially, what will we love? Will we love ourselves and love the world, or will we love God and love others? The second question is, what will we say? Will we lie and deceive ourselves and show that the truth isn't in us? Or will we confess all the sins that are within us and find forgiveness? And the last question is, who will God be? Verse 10 says that if we remain in our sin and our self-deception, we make God out to be a liar. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. But, this is the second half of chapter 2, verse 1, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So the question of who will God be is a very, very important one, because it deals with our own lies and ultimate truth. The question really comes down to is, in our sin and self-deception, how deceived are we? John is giving a really, really, really strong warning, because if we're claiming to be without sin, it says we make God out to be a liar. So our self-deception very, very rapidly turns into blasphemy. So John draws a line in the sand, and it's a line that we all need to deal with now. Either we're liars, or God is a liar. And our sin, which is darkness, attempts to turn God, who is light, into a liar, which is blasphemy. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Many times when we hear a strong warning of, be careful of the way you speak, be careful of the way you live, you might be speaking and living in such a way that you are blasphemous, we get our guards up, our hearts either become weak or closed. We are so weak that we just push everything away from us, we push the truth away, or we're so closed it bounces off us and we're just like, oh, I don't need to deal with that. Wrapped up in this warning of our lie and making God a liar is, again, more than what we think. It is how we act. If we walk in darkness and claim that we have no sin, we are calloused, and we live like blasphemers. So your life on top of your mouth preaches a sermon. And all the living and walking in darkness, we have to be careful if we are preaching one of blasphemy. So we need to pray for strong hearts to heed a strong warning. If you or I are living in darkness, if you are loving yourself more than anyone and everyone else, if you desire the things of this earth more than you desire God, and you claim to live like you have no sin, you are a blasphemer, and you have made, by your living and speaking, a very bold statement about who God is while trying to keep yourself true. And so I don't know all the things that you struggle with. I know mine, and I know the feeling of exposing them to the light. And I am giving you and I am giving myself this strong warning because we need to hear it. If I want to sin less, I have to fellowship with the light, which means I have to be honest with my sin. There is no more room for lies. There is no more room for isolation and living alone. There is no more time for pretending or hiding. And I know the anxiousness that comes from opening up to someone. I know the feeling of weakness that comes in admitting I'm not strong enough to be a Christian all on my own. I know the shame of failing time and time again, and the remorse of continuing to walk in the darkness while claiming to be in the bright fellowship with the light. And I'm sure we all know it, and we can be there for each other. If you're anything like me, again, you know those feelings too, and it's this whirlwind of shame and apathy and the two together, and it has to go. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. We must plead that our sin does not blind us so badly that we cannot recognize the light for its beauty and for its majesty. We have to hope and pray and trust above all else that our sin does not make us so callous that by our living and our speaking, we call God, who is the essence of truth and light and life, a liar with darkness in him. And so how do we do that? How do we put off that darkness? How do we stop ourselves from lying? How do we stop being so self-deceived that we wander around in the darkness thinking we can see? John has an answer. But if anyone does sin, which is all of us, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So all of our fears need to be cast aside. The answer to every single question John has brought up has been, turn to God. Where do you walk? If you're in darkness, walk in the light, turn to the light, and be cleansed. Have you been lying about your sin? Open your mouth and confess your sin to God, and He is faithful and just, and He will forgive you. By your living, have you made God out to be a liar? You have an advocate, and His name is Jesus, and He is righteous. And so how does all of this stop you from sinning? What happens if you sin again? The answer is, as always, and we need to get this way down deep in our souls, turn to God. If you sin, we have an advocate. His name is Jesus Christ, and He is the righteous one. And every word in there is important. Jesus is our advocate. He is our sustainer. He is our supporter. He is righteous. He is pure. He is holy. He is good. He is the propitiation for our sins. He is the one who keeps us in the light. And we find that cleansing and faithful forgiveness because Jesus is our advocate, because He's our propitiation, because He turns God's wrath away from us so that we would get God's favor. And so if we try to define propitiation in light of what we've just talked about, in light of what it means to walk in the light or walk in darkness, we get something like this. Jesus Himself, our Savior, walked in the light, and He loved and fellowshiped with God, and He loved others and served them. He never strayed away from living in the bright hope and joy of fellowship with His Father, but He gave Himself for those who walk in darkness. He paid the price for the sins of those, which is us, who are blinded by their own sin, blinded by their own speaking, and in their living make God out to be a liar. That is, Jesus was afflicted and punished as one who did not walk in the light. Jesus was afflicted and punished as one who did not abide in the truth, and He was afflicted and punished as one who fellowshipped in the darkness, as one who lied to Himself so that those who actually fellowship with the darkness, us, might know the hope and joy of being in the light. We get the benefits of His obedience. God's wrath is turned from us. Instead, we find all the favor and love He has for the work of His precious Son. John says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you might not sin." So what is it then that keeps a man or a woman from sin? It is the light. It is the fellowship with a good and glorious God, and it is having an advocate who is righteous and cleanses us from the sin that blinds us and taints our love. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all of their guilty stains. Walking in the light is having the right love, first God and then others. There is no special formula. It's not you do this and you get more light. Life doesn't work like that. Walking in the light is having the right love, and it is begging and pleading for the right love. It is knowing what the right love is, and it is being hostile to every sort of sin that would try to take you out of that light and entice you to walk in the darkness. Underneath all of that is God's great love for us, and that is the foundation, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. What keeps us from sinning is the cleansing blood of Jesus. It is His faithful and just forgiveness. It's His turning aside God's wrath and earning us a favor. Life is love. Love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all of the prophets hang on that. So we must not fear the light. We must not run from the light because it exposes our fear and our guilt. Instead, we have to turn to the light because it exposes our weaknesses, because it exposes our guilt, and then God, in His mercy, can do work within us. We then get fellowship with Him, which is hope and joy. We then get fellowship with each other, which is peace and strength and encouragement. And then we always look to Christ, who is the rock-solid hope we have of never having to fear being removed from that light. So we say these things again that we might not sin, so that our joy might be complete. Again, the questions, will we walk in the light? Will we confess our sin? Will we turn to our righteous advocate when we do sin? Will we let the bright truth shine in our hearts and find true and vibrant fellowship? I pray that we will. We need to love God. We need to love what God loves, We need to confess our sin, and we need, again, to have a rock-solid hope and trust in our Savior. And that is a message for those who are Christians, for those who know Christ. And there's no hope if you're not a Christian. There's no hope of seeing the light if you do not know Christ. And so your only lot in life right now, if you do not know Christ, is perpetual darkness. It is remaining hungry and not being able to see the Big Mac meal in front of you. It is the threat of despair and the danger of misery continually, because you know, just like I know before I go to bed every night, that I am not perfect. You know that throbbing pain in your soul, that guilt of not everything is okay and I don't know what's going to happen, but there is hope. That is the beauty of Christianity. I have to deal with my guilt all the time. But the thing is, I know where to go. I have an advocate, and he is righteous, and he was everything that I am not, so that I might enjoy hope and light and life, and that is offered to anyone. And so if you walk in darkness, I would encourage you with my entire soul to turn to the light and to find hope and life and light in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for who you are. We thank you that you are light and in you is no darkness at all. And I thank you that somehow by fellowshipping with you, you stop us from sinning. You give us a love that we need. You help us love what is good and true and bright. And I pray, Lord, above all else, you would give us the boldness that we need to turn from the darkness, that we would open our mouths and confess our sin. And that above everything, we would always look to Christ, who is our advocate, who is the propitiation for our sins. So every time we fail and every time we fall, we would know that we have peace because we are forgiven in him. Thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We pray that you would continue to do your wonderful work within us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand as we close in song.
Filled with blood drawn from